This article gives an example of numerous instances in which a single individual said no and, in effect, stood up against the full power of the Chinese state. Now, we here in the U.S. have a more insidious problem in some ways, because as Bentham, and we'll be talking more about this, as Bentham pointed out to the power of his day and beyond, if you are forced to use violence, in a sense, you've already lost the game because you're up front and out, and you've already got people determined to end that abuse. But what we are dealing with here is more complicated because we are yet to be talking about publicly over the public airwaves how power has insinuated itself in us. That's more difficult. That's why it's key that we do this here, because the rest of the world is ahead of us in understanding the true nature of power. But as long as we in the West, so-called, are not on top of this issue of distinguishing ourselves from power as opposed to continually identifying with it and trying to emulate it and jumping through its hoops, as long as we're doing that, we are sitting on the rest of the world that is ready. So she adds in this article that, of course, they say, we don't do this. Our subcontractors do this. That's, you know, subcontractors provide necessary cover for the big boys. And so the writer, Heng He, says, if Jennifer hadn't searched for the product that she was forced to make in the labor camp, if the reporter from Le Temps hadn't carried out his own investigation, those who committed the crime would never have been exposed and caught. Sometimes the effort seems useless, yet the impact is real, and every effort counts. And then he tells a story about something called Henan Rebecca Hair Products. The reporter, Jamil Anderlini, found that six of the world's largest financial institutions had bought, this is quoting the article, had bought shares of Henan Rebecca, and they are all among Rebecca's top 10 shareholders. Deutsche Bank, HSBC, ING, Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley, and UBS all declined to comment on the issue. And it also says in the article that it is, in fact, against the law in China to export forced labor products. And you can be punished. Yeah, right. The article concludes, things played out differently when Ms. Keith posted her message on Facebook. Social media spread the word. Media started to pick up the story. Kmart's parent company, Sears, responded, as did the U.S. government. The Falun Gong practitioner in the Manzanilla labor camp made the first move by risking his or her life. Julie Keith made her move. If everyone makes his or her move, we can make a difference. We do so not only for those who ask for help, we do so for ourselves, unquote. Ah, definitely. Thank you, Mr. Heng He. He or she is exposing the really ugly face underneath that economic growth that economists from left, right, and center and their henchmen and women all celebrate that economic growth and treat as trivial the ugly underside, as if we're not supposed to care about that because, well, every country has to go through its industrial revolution and it's never pretty. It's never a nice thing, these industrial revolutions, but they're necessary, quote unquote, straight up Hegel, given power awesome philosophical cover for the nasty things they do. Because if it's in the name of science, if it's in the name of philosophy, if it's in the name of the greater good, if it's in the name of progress, and of course civilization, then it must be worth it.